All right. Welcome to the recording. So on Communion Sunday, the pastor would usually wear a nice suit, right? He would wear a nice suit. How many of you guys were in church like a long time ago? And the pastor would always wear the nicest suit he had, Communion. Communion Sunday, right? And he'd wear his best suit. His voice would sound way more holy and formal than usual. And he would read the verses that we just read. And thinking back in my 10-year-old mind, communion just meant a longer service and a later lunch, right? Amen? Right? That's always what, as a 10-year-old, I'm like, oh man. Or for my kids, you know, nap time. And nap time for us too. So nap time is being prolonged, is all that means. Just kidding. But that was what a 10-year-old me used to think. But kidding aside, having participated in communion my whole life, it gets a little dry. And I ain't talking about the bread. Sorry. Come on, guys. That was a pretty decent dad joke. Okay. Sorry. Okay. Literally, when I ate the cracker, though, my throat is so dry and everything, it just made it so much worse. But it started to become and feel like a boring ritual. It started to feel like a boring ritual to me. And it did become that. But when we look back at the First Communion, when Jesus shared with his disciples, we see just how powerful it was, right? I mean, obviously, the verses we read. So what does Jesus talk about? Jesus spoke of his death. He spoke of when his body would be bruised and broken. He spoke of his blood that would be spilled, the covenant that would be made. And then he did something strange. He gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks when he spoke of his death. Who here would give thanks if you knew you were about to die in a few days? I'd be finding every possible way to survive. I'd be like, Google, how to survive my imminent death. Like, you know, like, and I'd be finding every possible way to survive. I don't think I would, my first reaction would not be to give thanks that I'm dying. But that is our God. He gave thanks for his coming death. Why? Because he knew that his cross was an invitation for the hurting and the helpless world. He knew what he was doing. And that's why communion is also called Eucharist, meaning thanksgiving. It's spelled funny. I actually even put the pronunciation in here because I knew I'd mess it up. Eucharist, meaning thanksgiving. The Last Supper is a great reminder that no matter where we are, no matter who you are, no matter what we do, no matter what you will do, Jesus still wants to eat with you. Jesus still wants to be with you. That he loves you. So the interaction I want to talk about is the interaction between Jesus and Judas. And so let's just read it again in verse 26, chapter 26, so starting in verse 21. While they were eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. Greatly distressed, each one of them turned, am I the one, Lord? He replied, one of you who has just eaten from the bowl with me will betray me. For the Son of Man must die, and the Scriptures declared long ago that how terrible it would be for the one who betrays him. It would be far better that that man had never been born. Judas, the one who would betray him, also asked, Rabbi, am I the one? And Jesus told him, you have said it. So what did Jesus do here? He called out Judas, right? Yes. He brought up his sin. He brought up what he was about to do. Now, we know that Judas, at this point, had already made a deal, right? He already made a deal for 30 pieces of silver. And Matt, it's like this. Like when your parents know you did something, and you know they know. Like every time my grades would come back in the mail, or when it became online, I would see them on the computer, and this is exactly what I did. This is how I avoided it. I would go to sleep at like 5 p.m., or like pretend to be asleep, right? I'd just lay in there. And it was like, okay, if I get one more day, that prolongs it. Maybe I can get my grades up tomorrow. I mean, that was ridiculous. It was impossible. I would try my best, but never worked. And then, you know, inevitably, that would catch up to me, right? Or like, you know, you sit down and your parents like try to ask you, hey, do you know about this? And they know the whole story already, right? Like, they know the whole story. They got an email from your teacher, all this stuff. They just want you to admit it. So, you know, you're just sitting there trying to lie your way out of it. But we do the same thing that Judas did. He denied his conviction. And so often, we respond the way Judas did when we were convicted of our sin, right? We say, surely you don't mean me. I would never do that. I would never do this. I don't know how many times in my life I've responded by brushing off my sin instead of just taking care of it. It's just brushing it off, setting it aside, trying to forget about it, instead of just bringing it to the one who actually already took care of it, right? I push away that conviction until I'm overwhelmed by my sin, and I begin to lose my faith that God can pull through until I'm at a place where I just feel stuck. How many of you have ever felt stuck before? You ever felt like you're just in a rut, right? You're just sitting there. So before conference, I would say that I was stuck. I was in a place of stuckiness, if that's a word. I didn't really know what God wanted me to do. Now, I've been here for 3 years now. And, you know, over time, you start to do, especially as a pastor, just to bring you into our world a little bit, it gets really easy to do your job, to write the sermons, to make the worship list, to do all of those things. And forget, and on top of that, with a family of five now, you begin to forget, and it's not that you don't spend time with God, it's just the way you're doing it isn't very intentional. Yeah. And before conference, I felt like I was stuck. I feel like I wasn't hearing from God anymore. I wasn't hearing from Him. And I knew my stuff, and I relied on my knowledge of the Word to get me through my job. And I just felt stuck. Like you just can't progress. You're just stagnant right there. You can't get over that one thing. On the first night of conference, Robert Madu, who's an amazing, amazing communicator, just look him up on YouTube, he'll blow your mind. But called all the pastors forward who felt this way. Called all the pastors forward so that the entire conference could pray just for the pastors in the room that felt stuck. And let me tell you, thousands came up. And it speaks volumes to our generation. It speaks volumes to the pastors nowadays, how they're feeling. And it comes and it stems from so many things, whether it's our social media, all these things. You know, we gain all of our faith. We put our faith in things that don't matter. Even if we don't realize that we're doing it. And honestly, I've had so many moments. He called us all forward. And I had so many moments where I knew that was for me, but I brushed it off. I said, no way. That's not me. I'm not stuck. Look at me. I brought all these kids here. They're experiencing God. Look at this. And this is like the first thing, right? So like nothing's happened yet. Like this is the very first thing they're taking care of, right? But when I realized that me standing there saying that to God, when I was like, no, that's not me. That was just an illusion of strength. Maybe I've ever felt like that strong, but really, the true power comes from running down to the front, throwing my hands in the air and saying, yes, Jesus. And run right into His open arms. Here's what I learned. Don't let the sin in your life run all over you. Don't let the sin in your life run all over you. Because if you begin to allow that in and you begin to brush off the conviction, because you know when things are wrong. You know when you're being sinful. And if you don't know, ask yourself these simple questions. Is this pleasing to God? Would God be okay with me doing this? You ever heard this? Like if Jesus was sitting in the room with you and you were watching a TV show, would He sit there and watch it with you? Probably not. Is what I'm doing righteous? If the answer is even kind of no, then it's probably sinful. But if we push away those convictions, we can never heal. We can never heal. You see, Judas refused to acknowledge his sin. He refused to allow conviction to penetrate through the layers of his self-preservation. Because before this, Judas had a different idea of what Jesus bringing the new kingdom was about, right? Judas had this great idea about it. And he was like, wow, we're going to take over. We are going to rule. This is going to be awesome. The new kingdom of Jesus is coming, and I'm going to be right there with him. And it turned out to be something completely different than he thought it would be. He wanted out. Maybe we don't willfully betray God as Judas did, but we allow a pattern of sin in our life. So the question then becomes, what is God convicting you about? What is God convicting you about? In which areas of my life am I making excuses and not allowing his voice of conviction to change me? You see, when we feel that conviction in our lives, when we feel that tug on our heart, that's a good thing. Yes. That means the Holy Spirit's reaching out to you. He's saying, he's interceding for you. He's telling you, hey, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. Turn around, go the other way, you know? Let me just define what conviction means and just describe a little bit theologically what conviction is. So conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit. This is from like a Christian, like a Bible dictionary. I didn't write the source down on here, but it's from one that's in my study Bible. Conviction is the work of the Holy Spirit where a person is able to see himself as God sees him. Guilty, defiled, and totally unable to save himself. Conviction functions differently for the Christian and the non-Christian. For the non-Christian, conviction reveals sinfulness, guilt, and brings fear of God's righteous judgment. Whereas conviction in a believer brings an awareness of sin and results in repentance, confession, and then cleansing. Theologically, conviction is produced by four things. One, the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 8, it says, when he comes, talking about the Holy Spirit, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Second thing is the gospel. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, in the New King James Version, now when they heard the gospel, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In Romans chapter 2, verse 15, it talks about our conscience, how our conscience convicts us. They demonstrate that God's law is written in their hearts, for their own conscience and thoughts either accuse them or tell them they are doing right. And then the fourth thing is the law. In James 2:9, it says, but if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. See, the conviction of sin brings man to the cross and shows the need for forgiveness. It shows their need for God. So what do we even do with this conviction? What do we do with our conviction? You see, we allow faith to act. We allow faith to act. Let me explain. See, a lot of people believe all the right things, but they have little faith. Many believers who are full of good Bible teaching still fail to experience victory and change in their lives. This was me right before conference. This was where I was at, right there. Full of good Bible teaching, went to Bible college, all this stuff, in the Bible all the time. Literally, my job is to be in the Word, and yet I still failed to experience victory or change in my life. Why? Because I lacked faith. My conviction, I kept brushing it off. See, anxiety, worry, fear are common destroyers of peace, right? They are the substance of things dreaded and the evidence of things that are seen. There may be belief in God, but much of our Christian faith today is little more than conviction. What's missing is a personal response and trust in Jesus. So you see, by conviction alone, you might behave a little differently from your peers. But you might adamantly defend the truths of Scripture. By conviction alone, you might offer yourself for service and give to the poor. But conviction alone will not keep you calm in the midst of your storm. Conviction alone will not draw you into a deeper experience with God's love. Conviction alone will not take you to new frontiers. It won't take you any further than. Conviction reveals what needs to be changed. Faith allows God to make that change. Conviction says that God can and does, but faith takes it further, believing that God already has done and that God will do. Conviction brings an awareness of our need for God. So where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? You see, we've been convicted by our sin. We have faith that God has already taken care of our sin. How do we then hold on to the promises of God? How do we create in ourselves a culture of faith? How do we make faith a regular practice? But not just faith, but faith that can move mountains, right? First, we have to understand that faith is not placing hope in the answers to our problems. Faith isn't putting our hope in the answers to our problems. We all know the answers to our problems, right? Typically. It's not putting our faith in the hope. Faith is not placing our hopes in those problems. It's placing our hope in God himself. It is diligently seeking him and not just what he can do for us. It's eliminating yourself from the equation and saying, Jesus, I want more of you and I want less of me. You must increase and I must decrease, right? This doesn't mean that we shouldn't ask God for help, but we ask with faith in him and complete confidence that he cares for us. That he actually cares about what you're going through. Because, newsflash, he does. Faith involves much more than asking as well. What did we learn a couple weeks ago? That God has given us authority, right? In every spiritual blessing in Christ. Sometimes we need to take our authority and speak to the wind and the waves ourselves. We need to take charge and resist the devil ourselves. All the conviction in the world cannot move mountains, but a little faith can. And I think that maybe we are afraid of maybe what God might do. I think that when we talk about faith and we talk about our convictions, our sins, I think what we're doing is we're afraid of what might be revealed. We're afraid of what other people are going to find out about us. Because that's hard. And sometimes people are terrible. And they make you feel guilty about it. They beat you down with it. They use it against you. It's like, but just let me tell you this. You only have to worry about what God thinks. You don't have to worry about what anyone else thinks. If you're going through something, just give it to him, like, and just open it up. I mean, and it is scary, though. It is scary to have to do that, but just understand, like our kid did, that even just with the 10,000 kids there, like, he felt helpless, but God called him out amongst all of them. He wants to do that with you today. So how do we, just as we close here, because, I got about 15 minutes, it's not going to take me 15 minutes to get through this, don't worry. So how can we create a culture of faith in ourselves? We feed on his word. Amen. How do we combat the sin in our lives? When conviction comes along, when conviction brings it up to us, his word. Here's just a few verses you can hold on to. There's obviously way more than this, but I'm just going to give you three. To maintain your faith in Christ, it's praying prayers like this in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. And then in Psalms 119:11, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. And this is one that's really... This is like the verse I've been going through recently, just reminding myself who God says that I am. In Romans 6, verses 6 through 11, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For we have died with Christ when we were set free from the power of sin. And since he since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. Now you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive in God through Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
This is what faith sounds like. That we can declare that over our lives with confidence. Knowing full heartedly, and this is the thing, is like when we lack that faith, it's like we're saying that this none of this is true. Right? It's like you believe it, but you don't pray in faith with this in mind, that we are no longer slaves to that sin, that when conviction comes along and it tells you all about yourself, and it's like we need to course correction, we need to go this way, and you ignore it. Confidence in who we are in Christ and what he has done for us. And I'm going to end here with just a couple statements. If we embrace our conviction and we have faith that God truly cares for us and hold firm to his word, then we will be in a good place.
Come on.
Yes. I want to encourage you that before we pray, to hold firm in your faith and resist the devil and live a life that's actually worth living. Let me tell you, if you are disconnected from the vine that they talk about in John 15, if you are disconnected from that, he says that you are useless. And I don't mean that to tell you that you're useless. That's not from me. That's from Jesus. But we have to remember that we are equated to nothing if we are separated from him. If we don't allow our conviction to do, we may just to do what it's supposed to do. We may just turn up like Judas. If we just brush it off, then you are going to get stuck. Trust me, I was there. You're going to get stuck, and maybe you're right there right now. And those are the people I want to pray for in this room, in this place. Becoming more like Christ every day, seeking him in his word, and knowing that there is nothing in this word that can separate you from his love. I want to live a life like that. I hope you do too. And I'm going to ask some of you to be bold this morning. Because I want to pray for you. If you're feeling like I was right before I had that encounter with God. And you feel stuck. You feel like you're not going anywhere. You feel like you just aren't making any progress whatsoever. Would you stand up? If that's you, would you stand up? Thank you. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
This isn't easy to do. And for the longest time, I felt like I was way too cool to stand up. I was literally saying that before I went up to the front and God met me there. And would you guys just be bold enough? And if we can have you guys come up right here. I would love to have our board members and other people, if you're with them, if you know them, if you're friends with them, would you come and pray as a family, together as the body of Christ? Would you just come up? If you're confident enough to do that, just come up and pray. And you just want to see lives changed. You want to see the stuckness go away. And we're believing that this morning, right? We're believing that. We're believing that God's going to unstick us from ourselves. Let's pray. If you guys would just stretch your hands up here towards them as we pray and just agree. Father, show us the areas where my sin has become a habit. Show me where I'm stuck. Show me how I can then move on from that. God, would I have faith in you right now that you can unstick me? Where it has gone unnoticed, where my sin has gone unnoticed because of the years of making excuses. Father, give me the power to resist the devil right now in your name, the power to change. Thank you that when we believe in you and trust in you, your word says that we have authority over all the power of the devil and over our sin. Give me a heart, give us a heart, Jesus, that is soft, a teachable, sensitive heart to your conviction. And Father, would you just lift, would you lift us up this morning, just encourage us this morning, knowing that your Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way, that we are not doing this alone, but God, that you are with us, that you care for us so much that you'd be willing to go through what you did just for me. God, I thank you for the boldness of these people up front here, God, the people who want to make progress, the people who want to move forward in their faith, Jesus. They're tired of being stuck where they're at. Holy Spirit, reveal in us what doesn't need to be there. We give it to you. We give it to you right now. Jesus, we thank you, Jesus. Would you just begin to lift up those things to him? Would you just begin to reveal to God what those things are that you know that don't need to be there? Father, we thank you, Jesus. God, I give you my time, Jesus, my schedule, my Father, the things that I over pursue, Jesus, the things that don't matter in my life, Jesus. Would you just reveal those things to me, Lord? Would you just continue to reveal those things to me, Lord? Would I continue to just release those things to you? Father, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you again just for the boldness, Lord, the confidence that we have in you, Jesus. I just pray, Jesus, that your faith would reign true in us. God, that we would wholeheartedly believe, God, that from this moment on, that we begin the process of getting unstuck. Because it isn't just an immediate freedom, Lord. It is, freedom comes in layers. And God, would we begin to just peel those layers? Would you begin to peel those layers back, Lord? Would we begin to just reveal more and more to you as we continue on with today, as we continue on with our lives, Lord, that we would continually pursue a deeper relationship with you. And God, we just thank you, and we pray this and declare this all in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. 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 Would you guys give these guys a hand? Just, it's amazing what God can do if we just ask him. Amen? So God bless you. Enjoy the Super Bowl if you're watching it, or a nap like I will. Because I don't care. Seahawks aren't in it. Who cares, right? But yeah, God bless you guys. You guys are amazing. Have a great rest of the week. Thanks for coming up and playing there. I needed that. Well, and the coolest thing about that is like, and I would have asked for it if I would have thought of it, but I'm glad that you were sensitive enough to feel that, because I know that. Well, in the scripture, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Like whenever people would start to prophesy or do anything, there was always like, hey, bring me a harp, or bring me a harpist or something. So thank you for being sensitive to that. I love you. You're awesome.
I love it. And
this is still so hot.
And
yes.
Your altar was fire.
Yes. Not my altar.
You need to write it down and say, God, when I listen to you, look what you do.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. You grew up.